Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. 100% engagement.
It's a total disrespect.
Download Stand Well Back. Listen.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
I don't see that view.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Hi, this is Jim White, and thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Today, myself and Simon reacted to the news that Arne Slot will not be the next manager of Tottenham. And as usual, Simon clashed with the fans who lay all the blame at Daniel Levy's door. Plus, we discussed Gareth Southgate's comments on Ivan Toney's 8-month ban for gambling breaches. Arne Slot, we now know, will not be the new Tottenham manager. He stays with Feyenoord. We are about to tell you exactly what happened on an eventful day over in the Netherlands yesterday. Slot saying, I've been hearing a lot of rumours. Rumours? No such word as rumours. I've been hearing a lot of rumours going around about other clubs interesting me. He says he's thankful there is not, and there has not been transfer conversation, and yesterday's meeting was exclusively for an extension. He means by that an extension of his own deal.
I'll leave that alone.
Feyenoord. I think we'll touch that as and when we want to. But the Dutch football expert, Marcel van der Kraan, is super busy with this story this morning. He took time out for us here on this show to tell us exactly how this has come about.
I think there's about 300,000 Feyenoord fans who are really ecstatic that he is staying. It looked all week for the last 8 days that he would join Tottenham Hotspur. He was the number one candidate after Xabi Alonso had said he wasn't coming. His agent, Rafaela Pimenta, who used to work with Mino Raiola, she was in talks with Tottenham and she made it clear that he was happy to come. And Feyenoord said, well, he's the most popular, the best manager we've ever had. He's brought us to the Champions League. We want to keep him. And if Tottenham want him, it will have to go up to 20 million if they want him. Now, with that in the back of their mind, it was becoming a very difficult situation for the manager. Also, they offered him a brand new contract with huge wages. And the whole picture together, late last night, the manager decided, well, if I can't get out, I'll sign a new contract here. And that's more or less the story.
Marcel, is it your belief that Slot deep down wanted the Tottenham job, that he wanted that one in preference to Feyenoord?
Absolutely. He was really keen on moving. He had given his word to Pimenta to start negotiations, to speak to Spurs. He was really enthusiastic about the Premier League. He made that clear. He could not stop himself from praising the Premier League in his press conference last Friday. That was for everybody to sign. Look, he's ready to leave. He wants to go. He thinks Tottenham is a massive club, and it's still his dream to coach in the Premier League. And this is why it is a major turnaround that late last night, both parties, Feyenoord and Slot, agreed to sign a new contract and for him not to go to Spurs, because I think deep down in his heart, that's where he wanted to go.
So again, Marcel, is it your belief that it was Feyenoord who pulled the brakes on the move to Tottenham, or Slot himself?
Feyenoord made it clear he could not go. He has a running contract. Feyenoord have said, we keep you to your contract, and if you want to go, it will cost an awful lot of money. And that's how the situation is.
So the Feyenoord fans are happy this morning, as you say.
He brought the first title in 6 years to them. They've seen football, which they've never seen in the last 2-3 decades in the Feyenoord Stadium in Holland, in Europe. It's so attacking. It's so much entertainment to watch his team. And I'm sure this man will end up in the Premier League at one stage, because he's one of the best managers we've seen in this country for years. And maybe it's a shame for Tottenham fans that he's not joining them right now, because I'm sure he would have brought entertainment and great football in the stadium. And I think if you look at the programme notes of Daniel Levy last week in his Tottenham book before the match. He promised the fans that they were going to watch football, which they would love. And I think that was a clear sign of his belief that he could get slot in.
No wonder Marcel van der Kraan is one of the best in the business, the Dutch football expert there, Simon, right across the whole thing from yesterday. So what's your take on all of this? Apparently it was going to take 20 million to get him out of there and get him to Tottenham. And then it seems like Slot began to think, I'm not sure if that will happen. Might it happen? Might it not? So he's got his own representative, the woman that used to work with Raiola, to go in there and negotiate a better deal at Feyenoord. And he's ended up much better off and stays at home.
Well, it feels a little bit like that. It feels like there's been a little bit of leverage and an opportunity created for him to get a better deal out of his existing club. For Daniel Levy, if these things are going to be indexed to you, and you're going to index yourself to them one way or t'other, it's going to be clear that you are indexed. You've got to deliver an outcome, and it doesn't matter now. Whatever Daniel Levy does will be tarred by a particular brush in certain people's minds, and some of that will be justified, some of it not. I'm not his PR person to speak for him. I would say that in the instance of Slot, if you wanted him, you had to get him. You had to get him. Because otherwise, you find yourself in this position where outcomes are what we're all about. We can make excuses and we can make justifications. And I will always be the first person to say, forget all the backstory. Forget all the reasons behind it. Outcome. You're in the outcome business. If you wanted this fella, you need to have got him. If it was a £20 million stumbling block, which would of course prick up the ears of the Spurs fan base to get him back into the sort of mentality of someone that's like, you know, Bob Cratchit sitting there with his quill and never write any money out. The scenario of paying £20 million for a manager, is something I think football clubs are going to have to get their head round. But the problem is, in the most recent example of it in the rearview mirror, you've seen Graham Potter, where someone's paid £20 million to get him released from Brighton. And subsequently, it's been a disaster. Now, you pay your money, you take your choice. I'm in the camp of believing that there is a space and place for managers to be bought and sold between football clubs in a certain way, because they have just as much value as the players. You can't necessarily make a transfer market out of it, but if you've got such value in coaches, then why wouldn't you be prepared
to pay? Why wouldn't you pay the 20 million?
But also, what doesn't make sense to me is, if you know your own contract and Feyenoord are demanding £20 million, it must be because there's a release clause of some shape or description that leads itself to that conclusion. So I don't know why the manager's shrugging his shoulders going, I don't know, I don't like all this. It's a little bit unedifying. It's making me feel a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I'm not sure this is going to happen. Or they had a more sophisticated contract which says, in the event you resign and walk out of your contract, you can't go and work somewhere else for 12 months. You've got gardening leave of some shape or form. It might be that.
The fact of the matter is, Simon, and you're right, if Levy wanted them, surely he had to get him. And now Tottenham fans will simply cite Nagelsmann. Didn't happen. Poch didn't happen. Xabi Alonso didn't happen.
Yep.
Slot didn't come. Who's next?
Again, they'll have... until an outcome is delivered, that is the space that he will find himself in. He's a hostage to fortune in this situation.
Are we looking at Potter? Are we looking at Brendan?
Well, you know, with Daniel, you can never necessarily... I mean, I don't know what's going on in the workings of his mind, but I do know that he doesn't want to have the endless criticism that he's probably getting. Who would want that? He will want to fix it. We sort of parodied his programme notes last week, but in the back of his mind, he will know that there's a need and a necessity, and I wrote an article 2 or 3 weeks ago specifically about he needs to get this one right.
Yeah.
This direction of Mourinho to Nuno Espirito Santo to Conte doesn't look good. It doesn't look like a thought through strategy. I understand the reasons behind it, which by getting nailed on winners in and hoping they're going to do something you that others haven't, but you've also got to price in their personalities, the stage of their career that they're in, and rather than just their resume, they've got to be in front of you at that time saying, I'm the Jose Mourinho that walked through the door at Chelsea in 2004.
Yeah.
That's the Jose Mourinho you've got now, and I've got plenty to prove. I'm the Conte that understands that I'm getting back in the Premier League and I've got to build a club with you, rather than just sit there with my hand out telling you precisely what I want, and if I don't get it, I'm going to have a tantrum about it.
Yeah.
So I do think that Daniel's in an invidious position, some of it his own making, and if he wanted Slot, the problem is, Jim, we don't know how much Tottenham wanted him. We only know what media reports tell us, and that's the only way we can go on.
Yeah.
Clearly, a lot of the time, the media do get the thread and pull at the thread, and some of it's got significant substance behind it. Not all the time.
Well, van der Kraan says they were in talks with Tottenham.
Well, again, I mean...
Slot and his agent were in talks with Tottenham. There's no doubt.
I don't doubt it. But having talked with somebody, I had talks with managers on a regular basis. It doesn't necessarily mean that those are the managers that I've alighted upon. I've made my mind up. I'm talking, I'm positioning. Maybe there's an element of Daniel wasn't 100% sure. That created a modicum of doubt in Slot's mind that I'm not entirely sure that I'm 100% wanted. So I can use this as a lever to be able to push Feyenoord into giving me a better contract.
Yeah.
All of these things probably came into play.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, until Daniel alights upon a manager and deals with that issue, he's going to get the brickbats of whatever observations land in the media, because we're now in that season.
For sure.
Not a lot of games going on.
For sure.
And it's all going to be that, isn't it?
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Do not, Daniel Levy, go anywhere near Brighton for Roberto De Zerbi. The Brighton fans pushing back big time this morning. There's a Tottenham fan. Get the Brighton manager. And then Potter will go back to Brighton and then everyone's a winner. Uh-huh. That hasn't gone down too well. Like Ryan, who describes himself as a very angry Brighton fan listening this morning. Why do all these clubs think that they've got any right to approach a club like Brighton and just take their pick? Go on. Get out there, scout your own players, build your own network, get your own bleeding manager and find yourselves a decent one, if you can. The Brighton fans not having it.
Well, like you did when you nicked Graham Potter from Swansea.
On you go. Simon, I'm being asked to ask you, the Tottenham job, is it as attractive as we think it is? A couple of people in the way by have just said, just on the subject of the Tottenham job, does Simon think it's an attractive one at this particular stage in the proceedings?
Yeah, of course it is, for a certain grade of manager. How attractive is it for the top-end managers is a different discussion. There'll be a queue of managers that would love to manage Tottenham Hotspur, but the ambition of Tottenham Hotspur isn't to have a manager that's going to give them what they've got this season, which is a pretty poor season, which is as much on Daniel Levy as it is damn straight on the players and the manager, who all seem to get excused from these conversations. It's only one person that's to blame. That's why I keep defending it, because I hate this tactic of blaming just one individual. There's a group of people that have not produced a performance for Tottenham this season, and whilst Daniel's the standard bearer and he needs to be held accountable for it, there are also other people like Conte that should not be able to skate off into the sunset with their particular brand of BS and get away with it.
Yeah, but he's accountable.
Well, is he? He's accountable with a £3.5 million cheque and probably pop up another job telling everyone how hard done by he was at Tottenham. No, they're not accountable. They skate off. Football fans give players and managers a pass and look to someone else to blame because it's an easier solution to do so. But Daniel's got to do better. He clearly has got to do better. The argument is, can you entice with a background noise of everybody hates Daniel Levy and Tottenham Hotspur is a club that's rudderless and a group of managers that have told you that the squad of players that they were in part contributing to from the players that they bought were all cheats, liars and selfish.
Mm.
That's the last manager's observation. And some of those players, a proportion of those players, were ones that were bought by him.
Is it coincidental that certain names like Nagelsmann, Pochettino may well have communicated this
yeah.
to Daniel, Xabi Alonso and now Arne Slot are saying, do you know what? Maybe not. Maybe not at this stage. Tottenham, yeah, maybe not. Maybe the comments of Antonio Conte, these comments, are still ringing in their ears.
We are professional. We paid, the club paid us a lot of money. The players receive money. Me receive money. You understand? Not to be, to find excuse and don't have spirit or don't show the sense of belongings. Or don't show sense of responsibility, because we are showing this, and for me this is unacceptable, for me, because this is the first time in my career to see a situation like this, and until now I wasn't able to change, not to change, but compare last season, the situation went to become worst. Why? Bah, I don't know, because they are used here. They used it here. Don't play for something important. Yeah. And they don't play. They don't want to play under pressure. They don't want to play under stress. Yeah. It's easy in this way. And Tottenham story is this: 20 years that there is the owner and never won something. But why?
He's right.
Hypocrite. What'd you do to change it then? What did you do to change it?
He's saying it can't be changed.
Of course it can be changed. Of course it can be changed. It
the might current take, structure can't be changed.
It might take a passage of time. And do I think Daniel can do much better and should do much better, and there's lots of things that he's done that are wrong? Of course I do.
Well, maybe he did what you said you would do, ask Levy for more money for players, and Levy said no.
Come on. Let's follow the direction of travel. I was a major advocate for Conte coming in and felt that he would be able to get from Daniel Levy certain things that others haven't. The moment he walked through the door, we had this drama. We had this constant toxicity from them. They lose against Mura in a game in the European Conference League, and out he comes with the ridiculous set of observations. In the January, after he's been there for 3 months, after they get beat by Burnley, out he comes with some ridiculous temperamental outburst, and he has the audacity to talk about, I'm a professional.
Hang on, what sort of job was Conte doing at the time?
What, to get them in the top four?
What kind of job was he doing?
In what respect? Trying to change the direction of travel to get the club to be moulded, or the football team, not the club, the football team to be moulded in his image. And his image is someone that's temperamental, throws his toys out of the basket, jumps up and down on the spot.
You've got to look beyond that. There's a mate of mine who's a big Tottenham fan. On this occasion, I disagree with Simon. Conte was doing a great job. And I mean a great job. Everything he said was true. They were top four when he was binned. Only 2 points from 9 games since. What does Simon not get from that?
Okay, what do you not get from it? I mean, even the most obtuse and opaque of observers cannot suggest that he was gotten rid of. I can tell you factually he wasn't gotten rid of. I can tell you with unequivocality attached to it. Levy didn't want to get rid of him. He wanted to keep him until
Antonio
the end of the season.
Said, I'm out of here then.
No, what Antonio did was he made it absolutely untenable. He turned round and set the whole place on fire. And he didn't do it from the point of view of trying to effect change. The only change he wanted was the change of his circumstances. He wanted to leave the football club.
But you like honesty. And he felt it needed to be said.
That's not honesty. That's disingenuity. That's engineering an outcome for himself. He wanted Levy to fire him because he didn't have the courage to turn around and say, I'm resigning. I don't want to be part of this because I don't want to not get paid. I want to get paid. And there's a lack of integrity. Do I think Levy's done his job in certain respects? No, I do not. Do I think they could do better? But I'm not having this guy. And I'm not having this narrative. Not because I'm a former owner, because it's unjustified. And it's unfair.
It is because you're a former owner.
No, it's not.
Because you're putting yourself in Daniel's position. You're like, oof, what would I do in that situation?
Because all of these people that are commenting have never been in that position. And they all think they know better. Half of these Tottenham fans that would be running this football club, Tottenham would be in Kerry Street if it was down to most of the football fans, because that's the bankruptcy courts. Levy has done one thing. He stabilises football club's finances. Now, he's got to do better. He's got to get this monkey off his back. He's got to produce a team underneath him that can look like the best in class. But I'm not having these guys like Conte.
Do you think Levy's ever second-guessed, I wonder why Conte actually went? And then when he thinks why he went, he'll realise that Conte had more than a point.
I think it was, with the balance of probability, despite me being a major advocate for Conte coming in, I assumed that when Conte came in, that he would understand certain aspects of the culture of Tottenham Hotspur in terms of the level of spend. Now, if Daniel Levy has brought Conte in, right, and told him a pack of lies, and completely misrepresented the situation, as we are being led that perhaps the Wolves board have done to Lopetegui about financial fair play, then I would absolutely understand Conte's position. If Daniel was done an absolute bait and switch, then I'd understand it. But I don't think he has. And what Conte's gone is, don't fancy this. And this is Football Managers, and you lot out there don't see it.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back here, Simon, overnight, I was looking at some of the quotes. Gareth Southgate has questioned the terms of the 8-month ban given to Ivan Toney for breaching betting rules by suggesting that Toney has been somewhat abandoned. Ivan Toney was suspended by the FA until January next year, is fined $50,000 after admitting 232 breaches of betting rules. He's not allowed to return to training until September the 17th. So, Ivan, goodbye, and we'll see you when we see you. And Gareth has questioned that.
I have spoken with him. I don't know if that's allowed, by the way, but if it isn't, then they can ban me and not add to his. Look, the ban is the ban. It is what it is. I think he recognised and accepted the punishment. What bothers me is we've got to look after people and, you know, he's injured at the moment. What does he do about getting fit? What does he do? How do we give him some structure over the next few months that he can develop himself or be a better person at the end of it or have experiences that he might not experience? So I don't like the idea that we just leave somebody that they're not allowed to be a part of the football community. I don't think that's how we should work. I don't think that's how the best rehabilitation programs would work. But he knows that we picked him because we felt until there was a charge, he should be allowed to play. And when he comes back, if he plays well, then we'll pick him. So it won't have any bearing, but I think he'll have additional motivation through what he's experiencing. And I think he's a resilient guy with great character, and we're here to support him.
What do you think of that? Is Gareth right? I mean, should the central theme of bans be about punishment or rehabilitation?
Both, shouldn't it? It should also be about consequences and ensuring that people like Ivan and those around him don't emulate this and find themselves in a similar position, because whilst you don't want to make someone the cautionary tale, there is no example like the example of someone else being consequenced to concentrate other people's minds. Isn't it interesting? I mean, the FA blazer-wearing Gareth Southgate suddenly decided to speak out against the people that have employed him. I would have thought the FA that have put this fine down, the very people that employ him, won't be too impressed by it. I do like the part at the end.
It's quite good, though, isn't it?
I do like the part at the end. Well, you know I'm not an admirer of his. I admire a certain aspect of his work, but I'm not in the camp that he's going to win anything, and that's what an England manager's job should be. Should be. I'm interested that in the end part, which I think is good, that he is clear that he will pick him on form and that these things are in the past when they become the past. So I like that part. I'm not entirely sure, you know, where Gareth's coming from. He picked Ivan Toney last year and didn't even play him, called him up to a squad and didn't even play him. So why is that? I don't know why all of a sudden he has to be his spokesman. Ivan has, and I don't want it for him either, because I think he's a super player. I think he's a super young man. I know his dad. I think he's a really, really decent lad. And I think he's going to be a top footballer. But he has breached the rules. And consequences can't just be in our sort of liberal, mamby-pamby society that we mustn't have people, we only focus on the rehabilitation. We also have to, part of rehabilitation is people accepting a consequence for their behaviour. And that consequence in this instance is you cannot play competitive football. You can train again in September. You can get yourself physically fit and keep yourself ticking over in the same way that you'd have to do once you're recovering from injury. The injury that you've done is a slightly psychological one now, because you've taken it upon yourself to breach football rules. You've compromised your club. You've compromised the financials of your football club, put them in a difficult position. So I don't know quite why Gareth wants to die on this particular hill.
It's not a bad question, though, isn't it? When you think of it, Southgate is basically saying, and I quite like the fact
that,
do you know what? I've spoken to him, and I don't care if anybody knows that. When Southgate says, How do we give him, Toney, some structure over the next few months that he can develop himself or be a better person at the end of it? What's the point? What's the merit in saying to Toney, get out and don't darken this door until we see you again for training in September? I don't care what you do, but beat it.
But nobody said he was a bad person. People said that there's a rule that you've broken. It's a very significant rule in football. It underpins and underscores the integrity of the game. It brings the game into disrepute if you're betting on football matches that you were either a participant in, right?
Yeah.
And you're bringing the game into a very serious space.
But I'm sure he knows that now.
Right. So then
he's sitting at home thinking that right now. He may be listening to us. What's wrong with what Gareth is saying?
And he knows that how? Why does he know it?
Well, you would think. Well, because what else is he doing?
Because
nothing.
Because he's been consequenced.
Yeah.
So when we talk about rehabilitation, what do we mean? It's very easy to throw these examples around. What would you have them do, Gareth? You're suggesting that the resolution isn't about consequence. It's about rehabilitation. They go hand in hand, right? Mm. No one's extricating him from society. No one is suggesting that he doesn't have a welcome place back. No one's suggesting, not even Gareth, is that there's going to be a consequence for your actions post the serving of the consequence that you have been deemed. Last week, people were arguing about the fact, why is it 8 months when 3 months of it's during the pre-season? Now you've got the England manager coming out with a player that he picked last year that he didn't even bleed and play, so wasted everybody's time calling him up to the squad. So what are we doing this for?
Well, what's wrong with that, though? I mean, again, I said...
Because it's none of his business. Who's? That's what's wrong with it.
Gareth?
None of his business.
Of course it's... He's England manager.
So what?
He's one of his players.
It's none of his business. It's none of his business. It's Ivan Toney has been consequenced because he's broken football rules. And those rules are very clear.
That. We know that. Ivan knows that.
So why is Gareth needing to weigh in on this? And this is ridiculous. Who said... So basically, no one can speak to Ivan.
Well, he was asked about it.
Who's saying no one can speak to him? It's a silly analysis. I haven't spoken to him, but if I do know, if I am spoken to him, it'll get a longer ban. Of course you can speak to him. Of course you can't. You can speak to him. No one said he's got to be mute. Of course that'd be ridiculous. The point of this
is... No, but Gareth's point is he's been chucked out the football community, if you like,
no,
for
he's
the
chucked
next
himself.
Few months.
He's chucked himself out.
He's chucked himself out. Yeah. All right. But, I mean, what Gareth is saying is, look, we shouldn't really have him sit in the corner with a dunce's hat on. He hasn't committed, you know, mass murder.
No,
so why don't we help him?
Because if he did, he'd be banned
for life,
wouldn't
he? When Gareth's saying, how do we give him some structure over the next few months? I think what he's suggesting there is, why don't we throw some kind of recognised, respected fitness expert at Ivan who can, he can go, I don't know, somewhere abroad, Spain, Italy, somewhere, and train with this guy for a few... Why don't we enable that?
Okay, so again,
or even better, why isn't he not allowed to train with Brentford? I don't understand why he's been cut off.
Because those are the rules that have been set down by the football establishment, and they're a consequence for your behaviour. Now let's evaluate this and say, okay, Ivan is not going to suffer a single iota of financial damage as a result of that. So if he's still getting paid £70,000-£80,000 a week, he can take himself off to Portugal, and he can take himself off of there with a football trainer and keep himself fit, because in the bigger scheme of things, what Ivan's actions have done have not just hurt him, and they won't hurt him. He will lose 4 months of football. Right. He'll come back. Some bigger football club will probably poach him from Brentford, and the reward will be that's what they do.
But to be fair to Southgate, he was asked this yesterday, Simon. He's hardly going to say, Ivan's in exile at the moment, and he deserves to be.
Well, he's asked the question. You don't have to answer it. You can simply say, if you want to. And he doesn't... I mean, listen, I'm having a reaction to his action. I believe that there needs to be in society people consequence for their behaviour. I'm coming from the position, I really like Ivan Toney. I think he's a brilliant footballer. I wish this not for him. But I also believe that if you want something eradicated from the game, whether it's dissent on the pitch, manager's behaviour on the sidelines, or this sort of thing, you've got to mean it.
I agree.
And no one's sending... He's got 4 months. He's not going off to Alcatraz and going in solitary for 10 years. He's getting consequence for 4 months of his playing career. Most of them hate pre-season anyway. They can't wait not to be part of it. So let's have it right.
There's some messages coming in there. Gareth should have kept quiet.
What's my point?
Ivan's a PFA's responsibility until September when Brentford have decisions to make.
Well, they've not said a bleeding word because they're completely and utterly useless because they can't defend the indefensible in a situation. Look, I'm not suggesting the ban is right and wrong. This time last week, you were making a case that this ban isn't long enough and that ultimately 3 months of it are during the pre-season.
I was asking if it was long enough. And he's been banged to rights. He's admitted to over 200
but that's
of
the rules.
Them, of course. And those are the rules and he is a participant and the rules say...
Do we think it's
as
serious?
A participant,
I suppose the evaluation can be, is it critical to the game that players don't bet and that the sporting integrity of the game never comes into jeopardy? We never have a situation like they've had in Italy.
Well, that's the important aspect of it.
If that's important, then the consequences of doing it have to be equally as important and equally as significant.
Should his rehab not feature in this as well?
But why didn't he say about Kieran Trippier then? I didn't hear him pipe up about Kieran Trippier. When Kieran Trippier was banned.
But the cases aren't comparable. This is a whopping... Well, look at it.
Kieran Trippier lost 3 months of a season. Ivan Toney's losing 4 months of a season. What is your point? Ivan Toney can keep himself fit. Ivan Toney can go over to America or any part of the world on a huge salary that he's still getting paid for doing nothing and keep himself
fit.
He
can get banned for 10 weeks. Toney's 8 months. I mean, they're not exactly comparable,
but,
are they?
But they are.
And Toney's 232 betting breaches.
They are comparable because we're talking about 16, 17 weeks in Ivan Toney's case of live football, and we're talking about 10 weeks in Kieran Trippier's. So there is an element of an ability to be able to compare. I'm not suggesting that this is an ideal solution, but if you want to rehabilitate someone, what is the consequence then? A smack on the wrist. It's not serious. It's not serious because it's only football. It's not serious because it's only betting, and it's only the sporting integrity of the bleeding sport that we're debating about.
Maybe he could be allowed to train.
He can Brentford. Train. He can go and train somewhere
he
else.
Can't,
and keep
he can't with Brentford. Not until September.
So there's no consequence then. So what you're saying is, and I take your point, which is that, and I take Gareth's point as we delve into it, which is, you can't play, but you can train, right? And, of course, keeping you in train gives you a sporting chance, because there is an argument about when players get consequence, they get slung out to the academy, and in comes the trappy PFA saying, you can't send him over to the academy. That's compromising his sporting ability. He needs to train with like for like. So there is an element of that.
Yes.
But no one is trying, I don't think, unless you do, that they're trying to single Ivan Toney out and make Ivan Toney a cautionary tale. It is by definition, but I think they're slapping him with the consequence to his behaviour. And it's not a case of does he need to be... Ivan is going to become a better person. With all due respect to Ivan and his dad, Ivan, who I like very much.
Yeah.
What are we talking about here? Is he a bad person initially? So by continuing to train with Brentford, Gareth Southgate's logic is he's going to become a better person. He's going to become a better person, probably, by accepting the consequences of his actions and coming back stronger.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. We'll be back each weekday to bring you the best of the show.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.